And welcome in to In-Game Chat for Saturday, March 9th, 2024. Right? 9th? Yes. Yeah. Season 8, you know, just making sure. Season 18, episode 9, Niner. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
And welcome into the show, everybody. Thank you, Bama Brian, for reminding me to do the thingy with the clappy clippy. I appreciate it. Thank you. I was just telling RJ earlier, before we were getting set up here, you know, we skip a week and we come in and it's me. We skip a week and then we come in and then I feel like we're doing it for the first time. I'm like, oh, hey, here we go. So is everything set? Is everything ready? I do more overthinking of getting set up on shows after we take breaks.
Yeah.
Than shows that we do. I won't be near as whatever about it next week.
Yeah.
I'll feel like I'm just going through the motions the thing.
Yeah, you overthink. I just forget stuff. That's all. That's all.
Yeah. Well, no, but overthinking causes me to forget them.
Yeah.
Well, because I will overthink on one aspect and think that that's the one I was thinking that I was forgetting mm-hmm. when, you know, it was actually two or three things that I was forgetting.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a thing. It's a neurotic brain thing. So, welcome into the show, everybody. We'll do our thing. If you want to get in touch with us, yes, phone number 334-272-9228. If you want to go to our website, ingamechat.net, there's all links kind of in there to get in touch with us. Twitter, InGameChat. We don't really use it except to announce shows and not shows. What else? Facebook. There's that. We don't really use that except for posting the show. And then we post on Spotify. We're on Spotify podcast or whatever that is. So post it there. You can email us. We don't really use it except to talk to PRs and devs. Everyone at ingamechat.net. But you can use these things. I'm not saying they're off limits to you. I'm saying that you can use them to get in touch with us. Nobody does, but you can use them. What people do use, though, is Twitch, because we are streaming right now on twitch.tv. You can go there. And talk to Bama Brian. You can talk to Lethal Migraine. You can talk to Drunk Degenerates. You can talk to AC Wraith. You can talk to me. You can talk to RJ. You can talk to ZVGN. I don't know who that is. You can talk to I Create and Destroy This World. What an interesting name. You can talk to Mark Zink, I think. Drapsnat, Donk7, 8HVDES. I don't know that one either. Brand new names. You can talk to all these people while we're on the show, and you can talk to us directly. Then there's the old Discord. And when you go into Discord, you can jump in the chat room and you can just type out what you want to say, or you can join us on the air. Strap on a headset and a microphone and pop in there and say hello, and we'll talk to you, which we would love to do. So anyway, welcome into the show. Thanks for, you know, letting us enjoy the week off last week. It was kind of spur of the moment. It was being thought about. What did I send you a text on Thursday or Wednesday or something? I can't remember.
In the week you sent me.
It was something in the middle of the week, like, yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'd given it some consideration. And I think it hit me like earlier on, like Saturday, Mm-hmm. And everything, just like, no, 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 no. Staying home, not doing it. No, no, no. So, yeah, that was it. And I don't really necessarily know. I didn't get anything. Gaming-wise, I didn't get anything accomplished. Mm-hmm. Gaming-wise, Balatro has really just consumed me. I want to get a win. I haven't even gotten a win yet. Now, Drunk Degenerates is in the chat room. In fact, his first thing is, wait a minute, this is Balatro. But, I mean, he has, and I'm sure he'll probably pop into Discord and we'll talk about it later on, but I still have not gotten a win in that game. I only need to get 8 wins, and I can't get 8 wins. So, trying. But we streamed that game on Twitch. You can go to our Twitch channel, and you can see where we streamed it, and you can watch it. I think it's still there. Actually, it may not be. I think they only stay up for like 7 days unless you hold them or something. I don't know. I have not messed with Twitch and their video stuff in a long time, so I'm not exactly sure how it works. But I did stream that on Sunday following the show. I may stream it tomorrow, but I doubt it because I'm just not very good at it. Or I say I'm not very good at it. I don't have a good run with it. But yeah, what did you play past 2 weeks?
Well, for the most part, I was playing Phantasy Star Online 2, New Genesis, trying to get back into the swing of things because they did have a new returning player, new player boost system they put on there.
Yeah.
So I was going through that. I was having some good times with it. But unfortunately, since it's been so long since I played the thing, I'm way behind and I'm trying to figure out how to get all the upgrade equipment necessary to get my characters up to snuff. So it's been a lot of trial and error and seeing what, reading through guides and manuals and seeing what does what and how to get this and where to farm this and where to farm that. So that's what I've been doing with that game. Still playing a bit of Virtual Fighter 5. Still in that league with the fellas on Sunday, the little group chat and get together, mm-hmm. playing in that. So still having fun with that. And I have been playing Balatro. After we had that talk,
picked it up, did you?
Yeah, I picked it up. So, yeah, I mean, I got the gist of it pretty quickly, the way you described it. And those jokers and that boss blind, that's where it got me. I got to like anti-level 4, I got halfway before the run ended. But the things that it does to you, you know, it seems by design instead of random, because I had tarot card that said change any 3 cards you want into the heart suit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the boss battle was all your hearts debuffed. Worthless.
Yeah.
So that made it real hard to get where I wanted to go with it.
Yeah, you got to look at that whenever you do. You got to kind of, you know, it shows you your blinds. Every time you go into one, it shows you your blinds. And by the way, blinds doesn't mean what you think it means. I'm specifically speaking to Biloxi Gambler. blinds don't mean that. They're just basically rounds.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to score a certain amount on this one to move into the next one, to move in the next one. So you've got your small blind, your big blind, and then your boss blind. Mm-hmm. And if you lose any one of those, then the game's over.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you've got to do it. And there are no stipulations on the first two, but on the boss blind, there's always some sort of modifier, be it all heart cards are debuffed or, all, you know, a certain, you know, God, there's so many.
Yeah, there's tons of variations, which makes it hard to get the points that you need. I mean, some of the cards are that were beneficial to having you get to the boss blind.
Yeah.
Now are a huge detriment. So all that strategy you had in the first two, now you got to change up. But you only got one opportunity to do it. If you can't, like I said, the game is over.
Yeah. I had forgotten that our stream settings were all for Balatro. So it said we were playing Balatro, and we're not. So I have switched all of that. This is interesting. This is the first time I've had to do this, but you used to not be able to do this. You used to not be able to go into Twitch and edit your settings and all these other things after you go live. Mm-hmm. You'd have to stop it, go again to change everything.
Yeah.
But now apparently they let you do it because they realized, hey, people, you know, they forget. And yeah, they do.
Make mistakes.
We forgot. That's cool. So you picked it up on, you probably PlayStation 4?
Yeah, PS4.
Okay.
Picked it up on PS4 and was having
So if you really you haven't beaten really one yet either, right?
I haven't beaten one yet.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's not discouraging in the least. I mean, it's a fun time playing that game and seeing how you can strategize and pretty much luck of the draw when between rounds, seeing what you can pick up and seeing how best you can use it.
Seeing as we're talking about this, we might as well bring in Josh here. Mm-hmm. I believe this is correct. Josh, you there?
Hello.
Hey, you can hear us, right?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, making sure. Again, took a week off, and I think I've never done this stuff before. Since we're on the topic of Balatro, which Balatro, as we've talked about before, maybe I can talk about it easier now that I've played gobs and gobs and gobs of the game. Because, and here's my thing. Like, I feel like when I finally beat the game or beat the red, I start on the red deck. That's the first deck in the thing. That's the deck I start with.
Yeah.
I know I've unlocked other decks.
Yeah.
And they have
a blue one.
A blue deck. Yeah. I've got a blue and a black and a couple of others I think that I've unlocked, but it's like, I'm starting with the first, this is the first one they give you. I'm going to start with this one. I'm going to beat this one.
The one you're most familiar with anyway. So yeah.
Yeah. It gives you plus one discard. And so I'm just going to start with this one and go from there. And I still haven't been able to beat it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the game's only like $15 and it is addictive as all hell.
Mm-hmm.
You basically play it like poker, sort of, in the beginning. In the start of the game, you basically play it like poker.
Yeah, it's poker with a bunch of wild cards.
Right.
Yeah.
But you don't get the wild cards until...
Between.
Right, in between blinds.
Yeah.
If they've got anything that's worth picking up. But...
Dave, don't feel like you have to pick up something.
Right.
Nothing that is not going to benefit you. So, yeah.
The first thing that I do, or at least a strategy that I've picked up on, is if I'm playing my very first blind, my first thing,
yeah,
I will completely empty my discards at the beginning. In other words, I will pick five of the lowest cards, throw them out immediately. And then whatever I get, if there's... two queens, two jacks, two kings, two aces, then get rid of everything again and have it feed more. Get rid of everything until I get three aces, four aces, three, you know,
yeah.
Something like that. Like, basically, I'm looking for four of a kind. Because if you can play four of a kind face or an ace or 10, then you're going to beat that first blind.
It's big numbers, yeah.
And you're going to get more money.
Mm-hmm.
You'll play one hand, beat it, get more money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my first strategy, is to get enough money to buy at least maybe one upgrade card, you know, something like that. One joker or something from the shop that I would need.
Yeah.
And then go from there. And actually, I play that strategy a lot as I go through up until I get to the bigger points where four of a kind ain't going to make it.
Like,
you know,
fifth ante. In that area?
Yeah, probably. Probably looking at fourth or fifth ante where it's like, all right, time to play strategically.
Yeah.
Hopefully by that time, I've built up, you know, enough face cards type stuff and modifications. There's mm-hmm. been some where I've had like, I don't know, 10, 15 jacks in my hand because that's the one that just happened to have more jacks of anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I just load them up. That way... the more I discard that doesn't have a jack, the more I realize I'm probably going to get one in one of these
mm-hmm.
to get more and more and more so I can do a four or a five of a kind.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. So that's my strategy for it. But Josh, RJ and I have not beaten this game yet. You have done a lot. How?
I've beat a couple of decks, yeah. Not all of them yet.
Yeah, well, it feels like... all of them to people who haven't beat one. I don't know. Is it just the luck? Is it is there a strategy you have to it as you play it? What is how do you go about it?
Luck certainly plays into it for sure.
Of course,
yeah.
I think the first deck I beat the game with at all was the blue one.
Okay,
because the blue one gives you an extra hand,
right?
Yeah,
which means you get extra money.
Ah, that's a good point.
And that's usually a good one to start with, either that one or perhaps the yellow one, because you just get $10 to start with.
Right.
And those are the, let's say, the easier ones out the gate. And at this point, I beat all of the base ones and two extra ones, I believe.
Okay.
At least the base difficulty, because you can add like six or seven difficulties on top of that. Different blinds or chips or whatever it's called.
I, given the fact that we've not beaten this game yet, I don't think either of us want this thing to be more difficult just yet.
I haven't touched the higher stakes, I think they call them. I haven't touched them yet.
I'll do it. Look, I mean, it's there for a reason, isn't it? I mean, I noticed the difficulty setting under the card selection, so I haven't unlocked it yet, but I do intend to. I mean, like I said, this game is, like you said, addictive, but it's fun.
It's very addictive.
Very, very fun as well. So trying it at a higher difficulty, seeing how well that turns out.
It is. It's a lot of fun. And maybe I'll switch, but it's just every time it's there, it's just like, nah, go with this one. And then I'll, you know, if it's not a great run there to begin with, I'll just completely start over brand new. I got very close. I got to a final boss blind earlier this week. The modifier for this final boss blind was a large blind. So it was over like 150,000.
Okay.
Just to beat it. And I did not make it. Did not make it.
Were you close?
I don't even remember. Because it doesn't even matter. When you don't beat it, it's just, all right, start it again. You know?
Yeah.
It has been so many days without incident. And so let's reset the clock and start back over, which I don't mind. It's not something I mind. It's just I hate sometimes that I'll have really great synergy with my deck, my Joker modifiers, my planets, and I mean everything's really, really working good.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a good setup to take this. Oh, man. And then you get smacked in the face with some kind of modifier that's horrible. Play one hand, you know?
Or no face cards. No, nothing.
You can't see that. Yeah, I mean, there's just something that is just will knock you because you prepared for it, and I don't prepare. I don't prepare for the lower cards. I either run suits, or I run face. A mixture of the two, because
I mean, you got the low value things. Like sometimes
there will never be a time I don't buy a suit upgrade card. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
the one that gives you the diamonds, the spades, the clubs, or the hearts, whichever one it is that you play gets a +4 multi and, you know, just gets a bonus every time you play that. And so I will never not buy those cards because I figure, man, if I get at least two in there or three, that ought to be all right. I can play anything and get boom, 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 you know, but it doesn't always work.
Yeah, but like I was saying, there's a lot of times, there's been so many times when I get two pair all the time, but they're low value cards, like a pair of deuces, pair of fives, something like that. But then the face value cards have all the.
Well, again, I've thrown
unless
away.
Unless you got the modifiers with the jokers at the top.
So, I've thrown away plenty of low cost pairs. I won't even play them. I'll just discard because I'm trying to get pairs in my face cards or higher cards to use those. Now, when it gets down to I don't have any more discards and I got to start playing what I've got. That's another strategy that I'm not sure that that took me longer to discover was that I can use playing a hand as also a discard. You know, I can play that pair of aces, but then I can also play these other cards that I don't want.
Yeah,
they're not going to get
just go for the high card.
Yeah, they're not going to be counted, but they are going to go away and leave room for more cards to come in. So I'll do that. Unless, of course, I have one of those stupid jokers that tells me if you play three or fewer cards, you get a multiplier of 15, you know, and then I do that. So, I don't know. Just trying to get a win out of the thing. And I'll be playing it again tonight on my Steam. It's great on Steam Deck, by the way. I'm sure it's great on the Switch now that it's back on the store in the Switch. Actually, they didn't lose it except for like the UK and some other countries.
Yeah, we got it back.
they took it off the store because they considered it gambling. Or it was too, you know, it's poker.
Too close to, okay.
Yeah, and so
they changed the age rating.
Yeah, the age rating was like, we don't want kids playing with these cards, things like that.
It's too late.
I know.
I mean, the Nintendo Shop Hall has the Classic Games 52, or what's it called, which has poker in it.
Oh, poker. Yeah, yeah. Is that the table?
From Nintendo.
Yeah.
And that was apparently fine.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Well, one is ridiculously popular. One has been somewhat forgotten or isn't as popular. So there you go.
Yeah, and there's absolutely no money involved.
Yeah.
Although, the other card, there's a couple of cards that I will never hesitate in buying. It screws me over more than any other card in the game. But I will always pick it up. It's a tarot card. It's the Wheel of Fortune.
Mm-hmm. Always grab the wheel.
You always do. And you have a 1 in 4 chance of turning one of your Joker cards into a hologram or a polychrome or foil
card,
or
yeah,
one of those things.
Card,
1 in 4 chance of it happening.
Okay.
I'll pick it every time, and nine times out of 10, a big old nope. It won't work because it's a 1 in 4 chance, but I will do it every single time. The other one that I enjoy is the credit card that lets you go 20 in debt.
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad to have. Because then it's like you've got $20, you know, it automatically gives you $20 right there on top of whatever you've got.
Just put it on the card. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you can go into debt and the money's not, as far as I know, money outside of money being used to buy these bonus packs, booster packs and upgrades and things like that, they don't care about your money. With the exception of, I guess there is a boss blind that does take a dollar away every card you play.
There are also some jokers that scale with your money.
That's true. There is that. There is that, yeah. There's a boss blind that I have hit before.
That literally says every hand counts.
That says every card you play is a dollar away from your bank. And so when you get down to having no money, you can't play any more cards. And then
there's another fun boss blind that sets your money to zero if you play a flush.
I mean, if a flush is going to get me the win, then
exactly,
I don't care. Because all I'm looking to do is get past that boss blind and into the next group.
Yeah.
So if I can get past that, even without any money, I can make that back up on the next play, usually. So, you know, not always, but usually.
Yeah.
Also,
a little tip to keep your sanity, try to not 100% complete this game.
Oh yeah, no. What are you talking about? I haven't even 1%ed this game.
Because you know what it tracks?
What?
It tracks each beaten difficulty per Joker.
I don't know what that means. Ooh. What do you mean?
That means you have to beat each difficulty with every Joker at least once to 100% it.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that's going to be a minute.
Isn't there like 80 some odd Joker? There's 100. How many?
And they have to be in your deck when you beat a run. You know how useless some of those are.
You have to do what now when you have to what in
you
your...
have to beat you have to beat the 8 antis.
Oh yeah.
Those Jokers in your current possession, you can't discard or sell them earlier because they weren't useful anymore. You have to have them in your winning hand, basically.
Yeah, no, I'm not looking to do that.
I don't think I've ever gotten rid of a Joker.
I have. I have sold them off because there are some that start out really well, but they diminish every time you use them. There's one, I think, that gives you like 100 tokens, but after each round, it loses 5. So every time you...
Some self-delete eventually as well.
Some do that as well. And so I'll do that. I'll do the other thing. And in fact, I did some of that this morning where I skipped some blinds so that everything in the store would be free. And then I would just get the Jokers regardless of what they did. And I would use them and keep them in my hand because they were some way beneficial. But once it got to the point where I had no more space... Then it was sell those off, because I don't need them.
Yeah, the limit is 5, right?
Unless you get a negative. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
A negative, by the way, if you have a negative Joker, that basically acts as a -1, So you can have 6 or 7 or 8, depending on how many negative jokers you have.
Oh, okay.
You know, if you got 4 negative jokers up there, you can put in 4 more jokers and have 8 total, you know? Okay. But I don't know. The limit, I guess, would be, I don't know what the limit would be. Right?
I think the negatives reduce your hand size.
Not always.
Okay.
Not
I
always.
I didn't have any negatives yet so far, I have to say.
You haven't had any negative jokers?
I haven't used one. I have used 2 in one run so far.
Oh, okay. There are some like spectral cards and some tarot cards or whatever that will say, you know, turn this joker to blah, 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 and... you know, but you'll sacrifice something to have it done.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a blind you can skip that will put a negative joker into the store on the next round. So there's that one too. And it does not, as far as I understand it, doesn't diminish your, it doesn't, you don't diminish your hand on that, that I know of. There are, like I said, there are cards that have, hey, we'll do this at the expense of this, you know?
Yeah.
And you lose a hand or something like that. I don't necessarily mind losing one card in the hand or something like that. I do, however, I don't like losing hands, played hands, and discards. As many of those as I can. In fact, there is, and I don't know how it would work, but there's a mod out there you can plug into it that gives you unlimited hands, unlimited discards. I'm not looking to do any of that. I would like to beat it. I would love to beat it once. Just once. That's all I want. And it worries me, too. It feels like I'm chasing that... that's the prize I'm chasing. And once I get that prize, what do I do then? You know? Still what up. Happens when I do beat it? Am I going to have that... draw to continue to go back into it, right?
You change the decks and you step up the difficulty if need be.
You can, yes, but I'm curious if that'll hold me enough, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like right now, it's like, I just want to beat this thing. And when I beat it, do I feel, am I going to lose that urge? You know what I'm saying? I don't know how many dice I'm sitting with in Monopoly right now. It's over 200,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still playing it, but it more and more and more, it looks like I'm good. I don't need to, you know? I chase the dice dream, I guess.
Yeah.
And once I caught it, I'm like, well, what do I do now? Other than continue to do this over and over and over again. If that isn't gaming, what is?
Yeah.
to continue to do this over and over
again. I just say, as long as you're still having fun with it, keep playing it.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
Well, yeah, of course. Of course. And I mean, Josh, you've beaten it every many times, but you still come back to it, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm still looking to beat at least each deck once.
So how many decks total in this game?
Not sure. I'll have to check real quick.
Okay, we know there's like red, blue, black, yellow, and so at least 4 or 5 decks.
Yeah, I could probably look that up real quick, although I think he's probably checking himself because he's probably just sitting right there.
Yeah, different color decks that give you different advantages or maybe disadvantages. I'm not sure. I've only got 2.
While you're looking that up,
16 decks, I believe.
16?
16, okay. Goodness.
How many difficulties?
There are like 5 base decks.
Mm-hmm.
And I've beat all of those plus 3 additional ones.
Mm-hmm.
Madman. How long did it take?
The heart of the cards is with me.
How long did it take you to beat your first deck?
Believe it or not, I think it was my 3rd or 4th try.
Jesus!
Like I said, I used the blue one. It helps.
I guess, man. I guess. Maybe. What's your strategy when you play? Do you have a... What's your strategy?
I try to go for flushes because those are easiest to get in this game.
They are, correct.
And depending on what I get in the game, I guess I try to branch out to a second winning condition in some form.
Now, had you bought go ahead.
So it's like a combination of flushes and having 26 aces in my deck or something like that?
Right, yeah, yeah. That's always great. I love the ones that tell you that, you know, we'll turn this card into that card type of thing. Mm-hmm. Or we'll make three of this suit or something like that. I'm always good. I'm always taking those as well.
Yeah, multipliers and face cards, man. Yeah.
Yeah, the more of a suit.
Also, there's the Joker that combines spades and clubs to one suit, as well as diamonds and hearts. Yeah. So you just have basically two suits in your deck that makes flushes a lot easier to get.
Mm. Yep. I think I've unlocked that one. I haven't seen it pop up. What is this? How does, you know, like I'm talking to the developer. How do the seed codes work? What do those do?
You basically can type it in when you start a run to copy what another player had for their run. So you get the same random number generation, the same things in the shop and in the card packs.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So you can basically, if I give you one of my seeds, you could try to copy or improve my run.
Right. I see what you're saying. Okay. I wasn't sure. I've used one of them once, but I didn't really know wasn't paying attention to what it did or how it worked or anything like that. Now, when you watched me stream it, ever how long ago it was that your first time seeing it, or was that your first time seeing it being played, or was that it, or what was it?
I've seen people play it a little bit before that.
Okay. Was just curious.
I think it released a week before you streamed it. It hasn't been out that long yet.
Well, it was in the Steam Next Fest demo, which is where I picked it up and started playing.
Yeah, I haven't seen it by then yet. Yeah. I think the earliest I saw it, like 2 or 3 days after official release.
Right. It came out on a Tuesday or Thursday, something like that. And I bought it that Saturday. And then we looked at it on the show, and it was like, there was like 20% off, and it wasn't there anymore. Mm-hmm. And then I played it. And then you played it that night, because I was playing it on the stream. I got done with it on the stream, and then you had started playing it, Josh, and were sending me little things like, yep, still playing it. And it was already like 6 hours ahead of where you were, or where you were at. And I think it was like 7 o'clock, 9 o'clock here, our time.
It's hard to put down.
Yeah, you were still going. Likely already having beat your first deck from playing it.
Gotta chase that dragon.
I know. That's what I feel like I'm doing. And then when I catch him after, you know, beating a deck, am I going to want to go back to more? I'm concerned about that. But even if I don't, it was 13, 14 bucks well spent, because I put so much time into it.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, what else did I play? Not much else, honestly. Balotro has really been the driving force, that Marvel Snap, that sort of thing. But today, I played Dave the Diver. Started some of that, and I installed Talos Principle 2. I have not played it, but I installed it, so I may give that a go tomorrow. Although, Josh, if you're around and you want to do some Baldur's Gate runs, I'd be down for that as well in the morning.
Sure. Or Helldivers 2, whenever you get around to grabbing that as well.
Whenever I get around to buying Helldivers 2, exactly. Yeah, I know. Is that what else have you been playing, Josh? Since we got you on the Discord here, what's been in your
pretty
gaming
much
library?
Just Helldivers 2, Bellatro, and Baldur's Gate 3.
Okay,
Those are the three games in rotation right now. Yesterday I played the riveting demo of Dragon's Dogma 2, which is just
the character creator. Yeah. I need to look into that. That's on Steam, I can get, right?
Yeah, and it's very in-depth and very good.
I know, that's what I've heard.
That one, people are praising it left and right, how in-depth that is.
Yeah, that might be the next. See, I may skip Helldivers and get Dragon's Dogma 2 when it comes out. Maybe. I haven't messed around with it. Not that the character creator is going to sway me, but I haven't messed around with it. But I've seen, you know, video of the game, and it's... Really,
on my list as well.
I know. I'm liking what I'm seeing, man. So, may do that. RJ, did you play anything else other than Balotro? Just Balotro?
Yeah. Balotro, Fantasy Star, and Virtua Fighter.
And yeah, that was it for me. Listen, we're going to take a break. Josh, hang around, okay?
All right.
We need to, if you can, I don't know if you got anything pressing going on, but yeah, stick around. And when we come back, we will talk more with Josh about that. We've also got news, 2 weeks of news. And honestly, it's not great news. The amount of people who have lost their job in the past 2 weeks is depressing. And that's just in the video game world. There's a lot more outside of that where, you know, people have been losing their jobs. And it is just horrible. So, yeah, we'll, you know, I say we'll briefly go over it because I don't know how much you can say about it. I don't know really what you can say about it, what you can do and that sort of thing. I am not informed enough in the ways of corporate businessy whatever to figure out how to fix that. I can't tell you how to fix laying off 900 people. I guess it was 900. Was it 600 or 900? Sony laid off. It was a lot. And yeah, no, it was 900 people that PlayStation laid off. Just ungodly. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat here in just a moment. Music here from a game called Ultros. The Matriarch is the name of this title. We will be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. And welcome back into In-Game Chat. This is music from Skull and Bones. The track is called Thrill of the Hunt. I had a listener come in this week. Here, picking up a prize. It asked me, you do that show on Saturdays, right? I said, yeah. And I said, yes, I do. And I also said, you probably... I appreciate that you listen and probably don't understand anything of what's being talked about. So, no, listen. I love the music. So, there you go. Anyway, welcome back to the show. Skull and Bones released to, I don't know, minimal fanfare? Something that had been we'd been waiting on for God knows how many years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot like Suicide Squad. And got minimal fanfare for it. It just wasn't good. According to most. And I think it was what Ubisoft called it, a quadruple A game. They said it's so big.
Oh, yeah.
It's such a big game, such a big release, that it's the first quadruple A game. Just made it up.
Yeah.
Just made it up. I don't know. Maybe some of those terms are made up anyway. You know? But yeah. Whatever. Quadruple A game.
Either way, sure. It was... Didn't match the hype.
No. It did not at all. It did not whatsoever. Horrible. I don't necessarily know that there was a lot of hype behind that. there was at one time when it was announced, but the more it delayed, the more I think people just kept writing it off as like, it'll either never get released or it's just going to be in horrible shape when it does. And buggy, I don't think it is, but it just, it's so not pulling people in.
So I got the worst case scenario. This is what we waited for.
Yeah. In fact, first headline of the day here for the show, Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag, which is where Skull and Bones kind of got it. That's its lineage, you know, that's where the whole,
got its inspiration.
Yeah. That's where the whole ship, stuff started for Ubisoft there. Had a 200% rise in players after Skull and Bones release.
Isn't that what happened with Arkham City after Suicide Squad?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Didn't people like go back to the Arkham series?
I don't remember reading that, but it's very likely, very possible.
Such a weird coincidence, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if something's just bad, like, they just go back. Uh-huh. Play something that, I guess, wash the taste out their mouth of a bad game. Just play a good one to replace that.
Yeah, or just like when Helldivers 2 released, people have been watching a lot more Starship Troopers.
Yes, they have. Starship Troopers increased, too, because of Helldivers 2. That the movie got a lot more eyes on it because of that. So that was the case. No, it's... I like kind of the synergy of those things, the way that works in some cases, I suppose. It's interesting that, and one that I hope studios kind of look at, where it's like, hey, we tried this thing, but more people are playing the old thing that we tried to base this thing off of, or, you know, the last effort that we put into it, more people are playing this. You know, there's multiple reasons that could be. Skull and Bones is out. It's a, you know, you pilot your pirate ship, captain your pirate ship, whatever, and you have, you know, ship battles. Well, that game costs this much. I'm not sure if I'm going to like that game. So to, you know, fill that void, I'm going to play this game I already have, or this game that's only like $5 that's been out for a while, and I'm going to do that, you know? Suicide Squad comes out. Well, Rocksteady did the Batman games. I guess I could go play that. They either buy it or they, you know, go back to their library and pick it up and start playing it again. Not a problem doing any of that. Yeah. It's just interesting to see that occur, and I'm curious if that tells... It won't, but I'm curious if studios notice that and say something to the effect of, maybe we should do that, you know? Maybe we should go back to that. Maybe we should try that again. Maybe we should, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure what they pull away from.
To the layperson player, yeah, that would make sense. But to the corporate entity, the folks that run things, it's going to take a minute.
You know, again, that's a good lead into another story, which was, and I think it was this week, where Warner Brothers basically said, you know what, Suicide Squad didn't do great, but we're going to stick with this. This free-to-play live service game. This is from PC Gamer. Speaking at the recent Morgan Stanley Technology Media and Telecom Conference, Warner Brothers executive said the company wants to expand more into free-to-play and live service games in order to avoid the volatile ups and downs of big-budget game releases. Which is interesting because Hogwarts Legacy from them is not a live service free-to-play title, but it is one of their most successful titles this year. But basically, Suicide Squad failed to live up to their expectations. Our business has historically been very AAA console-based. That's a great business when you have a hit like Harry Potter. It makes the year look amazing. And then when you don't have a release, or unfortunately, we also have disappointments, Suicide Squad being one of those, it just makes it very volatile. Why they want to continue down that path when they know one works and one doesn't? Well, I tell you why. They look at Helldivers. A lot of people look at Helldivers. And that's fine to look at Helldivers and say, we need to do that. Well, then do that. Don't modify it from there. Do that. And I'm not talking about the gameplay. I'm talking about the way you are a live service game. You've played it, Josh. I have not. RJ hasn't.
Yep.
But you've played it. It is a live service game that is doing tremendously well for Sony, but then you've got other live service games that are not doing tremendously well for anyone. Destiny ain't doing too great, but Destiny's been around forever. Suicide Squad doing horribly. What is the draw to Helldivers 2? Is it the game? Is it the gameplay mechanics? Is it the fact that you don't have? I mean, I don't know why is Helldivers 2 working but Suicide Squad isn't? I know they're two different games, but what do you think?
I think it's a mix of things. You have the fact that it starts at a lower price point to get in.
$30 compared to $60, correct?
Yeah, then you have the fact that the season pass thing in the game, they call it War Bonds. They are not on the timer. You can buy them whenever. They don't run out, and you can buy past ones and work on them at your pace.
Right, so there's no FOMO.
Yeah, and the currency you need to buy those or the cosmetics in the shop, you can earn them in-game at a very decent rate, I'd say.
Right. So you've listed really good examples there as to why one's working and what isn't. Starting with price, that's a great point. Here is a game that we expect you to spend more money after buying it. So why pay full price? You know, why ship it at full price and miss out on people saying that's just too much for a game that's not doing too great, or this, you know, I don't even, the price that Suicide Squad was at was not even one of those I'll give it a shot type of prices, you know?
No.
I mean, Helldivers sitting at $30 for me is still like, eh, but it's better than if it was at 60 or 70.
60 or 70, yeah.
It's much better than if it was that, because I can look at that. I can look at those other games at 60 and 70 and then look at Helldivers and say, oh, that's a better investment, you know? You know, put the two next to each other.
You're going
to
get more for your...
You are.
More for your money.
It's more
for your initial investment, that is to say.
I hate to say it, it feels like it's more respect for the players than it is anything else. Like, let's offer it at this reduced price, since we do have options for people to put more money into it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can look at that as saying, well, they'll spend 30 on this, and normally they would have spent 60, but now they've got an extra $30 to either buy something in the store or, you know, spread that out over time or whatever it may be. I mean, there's different ways to look at it, but the fact that they looked at that and they said, let's put it at 30, and that's a good price. Then you look at the store itself. We already talked about FOMO. One of Destiny's guiltiest sin on this, FOMO, to issue something that will not be around forever. And if you don't get it within this amount of time, your chances of getting it are very slim to none. Might be good, might be bad, might be nothing. But here's your opportunity to do it. But you need to pay us to get there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I feel like Destiny 2 is one of the worst offenders in that regard.
That's what I did. Guilty of sin on it. That's exactly what they are.
Simply because you lose access to DLC eventually.
You do.
Not just cosmetics.
Yeah. And I mean, the weapons and stuff stay, but your fear, the FOMO of it is once that DLC's gone, it's likely the weapons could be gone with it as well.
With a sunset at mine.
Well, they got rid of the sunset afterwards. And then, but what had already sunsetted was done. They did not redo those.
Yeah, my weapon is done for.
Yeah, exactly.
And it will never get any better unless the character gets better. It's not getting any better. So,
but yeah, they're very Destiny does this all the time with their FOMO and the fact that they want you to pay it to get there. So I like that. Most of the stuff that you mentioned in the store for Helldivers 2 is cosmetic, not pay to win type of thing. So there's that aspect to it as well. So yeah, they've got a lot of things going for them as far as here's why it's working, here's why it's not. But there's got to be some more there than just the money sink, you know what I'm saying? Which I guess goes to the mechanics of the gameplay, but I have no idea. I haven't played the only one in this conversation that I've ever played is Destiny, of course. Mm-hmm. I have not touched any of these other live service games that we've talked about, or any that are still on the market right now. None, really, mm-hmm. for me. So I'm not sure if the gameplay part of it is you know, another aspect to it. Although, you look at Suicide Squad, it's a shooter. You look at Helldivers, it's a shooter. In most senses.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't know, but those are good. Those are good examples there, Josh. So, and you haven't played Suicide Squad either, right?
No, not touching that one.
Ryan, I know.
Did you have no desire, Josh? You had no desire to play it since the from the get go, since the trailers and ads came out for it.
Yeah, I didn't have any desire to play that. No.
Yeah. I mean, still a fan of DC, fan of the Batman games, fan of the all the Arkham series from the folks, but yeah, I saw the ads for this, and I just really had literally no desire to pick this title up. It just did not move me.
Yeah, it's not doing it for me either.
And then seeing the folks who did pick it up and look at, they didn't like the it was like, well, repetitive gameplay, monotonous, the type of thing that gets old really quick.
Mm-hmm.
When you start playing, you have to play this for a long amount of time, especially in a service game where you have to grind to get stuff, things like that. It gets tedious real quick.
And as I understand, that game is a grind. The Suicide Squad stuff is a grind because it is so repetitive in what you do.
Yeah, but that's the thing about the service model. Grind. Making the grind tedious as possible so that you will go get the perks and benefits or whatever.
As far as Suicide Squad is concerned, the perks and things and stuff that you can pay for doesn't help with the tedium. It's the fact that the variety of what they have to offer as mm-hmm. far as the mission structure
mm-hmm. yeah.
is very few. In Destiny, and again, that's the only one I can go back to make comparisons.
Yeah.
But I've got bounties galore that I can pick from on any planet. I've got plenty of dungeons and things to do. Now, again, to compare a game that's been out for near 20 years, 10, 15 years, whatever, how long it's been, mm-hmm. to a game that just released, I get there's a difference. There's, you know, more time that needs to be put in.
Mm-hmm.
But this game launched with just a handful of mission types that just kind of, you know, shuffle in and out as to what you got to do. From an escort mission to a kill this mini mission to... save civilians mission. I don't know. There's just not a lot of variety there in the mission yeah. structure.
But for
to go that long with it, just to keep doing that over and over again.
Yeah. The thing about Suicide Squad for me as well was that for your universe, these characters that are that are in a universe that is beloved by a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
that's the amount of effort you put into it. That little as
they put in. A ton of years on this thing.
Put years, but not a lot of substance. I mean, really?
I haven't played it to tell you all the little things that are in there, but I don't think...
I mean, this is just I'm getting from the responses I'm mm-hmm. seeing from the folks about the game. I mean, this is for that amount of time, and for a series with known established characters and established universe in the DC universe... This ain't gonna cut it, and you put it out like this. That's just unacceptable.
Yeah, I don't know exactly everybody that shows up in the game. Not that it would matter, because they seem to really stick more to. Well, I was gonna say the Batman side of things, but no, it encompasses all of the different characters, really. As far as the Justice League are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily know that it branches out too much from there. And it's still trying to maintain that Arkham, that connection to the Arkham games as well. Not exactly sure how.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it explains it in the story, how we go from Arkham Knight to this. The ending of Arkham Knight. I don't know if there's an explanation in there or not.
Or is it just one of the different universe things?
But it's also this massive map. That doesn't change. In other words, there's no... Again, I hate to go back to Destiny, but it's my only example.
Yeah,
the different locations that you can go to in Destiny. It's all you can go to all these different places.
Yeah.
That get added in and then get taken out, but yeah. there's a ton of them there. But this one's like one big world, and that is it. And it's big. It's very, very big. But you're not outside of them adding content into the game.
Mm-hmm.
Not characters, but more locations. This is what you've got to play with.
Well, I'll think about Spider-Man, the first from Obsidian. Spider-Man? You're just taking place in the city.
Insomniac?
Right? Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. Insomniac. But you're taking, it's in the city, right?
Mm-hmm. It is.
Big city.
It is.
But there was plenty to do in that game.
There was. A lot of side missions, a lot of things to do.
So that's not really an excuse.
No, probably not. I mean, it's not, it wasn't me giving them an excuse. It's just like, you've got all this space, but you're going to be stuck there doing it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Spider-Man is a linear story. You go from point A to point B, you're done. This is a continual game. You know what I'm saying? This is the one you play constantly, over and over and over and over, to level up, to move on, to have an end game, to keep going beyond that. Spider-Man, sure, you keep going, but once you're done, there's nothing left to do other than swing around the city. Even once you 100% the thing, there's nothing left to do other than maybe try and beat your times or your scores if you want to try that. So, anyway, we're way behind on the clock here. We got to take a break. Hang on, Josh. We'll come back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. We have got music here from Mario versus Donkey Kong that just released on the Switch last month, actually. This is called Mario Toy Company is the name of this track. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back into In-Game Chat with music here from a game called Played Up. I don't know what it is, but I just saw it was released. It looks like a little
restaurant simulator.
Something like that. Yeah, I think so. But
Played
Up, yes. It is the main theme to Played Up.
Let's see. Played Up combines chaotic kitchen and restaurant management with strategic planning and development to create a delightful roguelike dish unlike any other.
God, roguelikes are just going nuts.
10 out of 10.
Played Up is fun.
You've played Played Up?
I have. You can play it with up to four people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's
cool. like the other cooking multiplayer game that got two games. I forgot the name.
What, Cooking Mama? No, that's what
the game is.
That goes back. Cook, Serve, Delicious?
No, I don't think so. It's also a very chaotic one.
Yeah.
We have the King Onion as a NPC, something like that.
I am not sure.
Came out August of 2022.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It must have gotten a release on like consoles or something, because I go down a list of like recent releases, and apparently it got, I guess,
I think it was early access.
Yeah.
Oh, you may be right. Had early access and then finally got released. That's a possibility.
Developed by It's Happening, and the publisher is Yogscast Games.
Okay, I'm familiar with Yogscast.
Mm-hmm.
And Games. I meant Overcooked, by the way.
Overcooked. Okay. That's the other one. That's the other one I was
thinking
about.
It's kind of like those.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's on Switch, PS5, PS4, Xbox One, and others. Yeah.
AC Wraith says, try Against the Storm for a city management roguelike. Says he doesn't own it, but I've been enjoying a YouTube series of it. I actually have it, AC Wraith. I think I got a copy from the developer. I don't know, but I did play it as a demo and eventually did pick it up. That's one I should go back to, and I really haven't. I don't know why. I keep finding a game, playing it for a good bit, and then it's like, let me find something else to play, even though I've got this massive list of other things I could play. You know, I keep looking at other things to buy or pick up or play like that, so need to stop that.
Dark Fantasy City Builder.
Okay. Oh, Against the Storm? Yeah.
Okay. Looking at the description, yeah.
Yeah, it's a city management roguelike. Hmm.
By the way, I wanted to mention one more thing about Helldivers 2.
Yeah, go ahead.
They recently did a little in-game update where in the game you have to defend and liberate planets from the enemies.
Right.
And do missions on them. And recently there was an in-game event that the Automaton faction, the robots, was attacking a planet that produces mechs for the players.
Oh, God.
And mechs haven't been released yet in the game.
Right.
And after the community liberated the planet, and you could also find empty mechs on the planet. So that was a first tease. And once the community completely liberated the planet, everyone had access to buying those as a stratagem to use for further missions.
Right.
From here on out.
So mechs are now in the game, right?
Yeah, that's a fun little in-game way to add stuff.
Right, yeah. No, they storified the content, basically. Which is not a bad thing to do. And especially not a bad thing to do in the way that they were doing it. Given that this is a game that is continually ongoing. There's the continual battle of you trying to liberate all these planets that are constantly being taken over by the bugs, the robots, everything else. And so every time you log in, you get, what, a rep report of like, well, we liberated this planet, but they took over this one. And so the line shifts a little bit in, you know, towards the humans and then towards the robots type of thing. It's just a constant back and forth. But that's wonderful that they storified the content they were adding into the game by saying mechs are produced from this planet, but not unless you liberate it, because they won't produce them when the robots have taken over. So that's an interesting. I like that. I like that aspect. I will eventually get to Helldivers. I really will, and I might get to it. I might have gotten to it quicker if there was FOMO, or I may have stayed away. I'm not sure. But the fact that, like you said, that stuff's going to be there regardless of when I jump in. It'll always be there for me. I like that idea. It doesn't put pressure on me to get in there now and get it done.
Exactly.
What does put some pressure on me to get in there and get it done is the... We've often referred to it as the zeitgeist. It is the thing to play before the next thing to play comes around and your community starts to dwindle, you know? To be there on top of it, to play it while everybody else is playing it, strike while the iron's hot type thing, and to continue on with it. There is that aspect of it as well.
But yeah, while the concurrent player count is still near the 500K on Steam alone.
Okay, we're good. I can wait. I can hold off. Let's go to the phones and talk to Chris. Hey, Chris.
What's going on?
Not much. What's going on with you, man?
Playing the new Final Fantasy VII.
That's right. Rebirth. It is out now. Enjoying it?
Yeah, so far. I got the big one with the statue and everything, but I'm waiting to put it together. I found out that the base for Sephiroth is translucent, and I'm planning on putting some white LEDs around the base of it and underneath there and make it glow. So I'm making a shelf to put him on and then going to make a frame around that and then figure out how to do that.
Nope, that's a good idea. That's a fantastic idea. There are kits that I can buy for my Lego builds that add lights to them. And I am all about LEDing some stuff up. Always all about. Speaking of LEDs, well, this has nothing to do with LEDs, honestly. Lee and Lee sent my replacement cooler this week.
Mm-hmm.
In a box. Okay, they shipped it in. They didn't ship it in a box. They just slapped an address label on the box.
Okay.
And then shipped that. They put some fragile stickers on it as well, and then they shipped it. Looks like it's gone through some crap from wherever it came from.
Someone Ace Ventura that thing for it got
to your door? It's horrible, man. I mean, I've seen worse. I've had worse delivered. But this, it's just, it's like, don't do that. Especially if it doesn't require a signature or anything like that, and the people just put it on the porch, completely exposed to anybody to know what's in there. It's not like it's, you know, just a box, a brown box. Mm-hmm. It is the item box itself. They did this around Christmas a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They got Wendy a keyboard ever how long ago it was, and when they and it was for Christmas. And they didn't offer gift wrapping, whoever I bought it, maybe it was Newegg or something. I can't remember who I bought it from, but they didn't offer gift wrapping. But there it was, sitting up against the side of the house, just the keyboard box with an address label on it.
Yeah.
For anybody to just walk by and pick up if they'd like.
Well, let's be honest, in this day and age, it doesn't have to be wrapped up in a concealed box. They'll snatch and grab it.
I get it. I understand. But when you already know what's in there, that makes your decision easier.
Yeah, especially if you're looking into that kind of stuff and say, oh, I could flip that real quick.
I know. But yeah, go for the LED thing. I think that's great. So you've been playing Rebirth, I assume. Mm-hmm. How far into it are you? How many hours?
Not very far. Maybe 10 or 11 hours or so. I just got to this little second area that I can explore and start doing quests in, but I've been just taking it easy and doing the side quests. Having fun.
Yeah, no, that's good. I know you're a big Final Fantasy fan, so I'm glad it's out there. I know there's a lot of Final Fantasy fans who are looking at this. And I had heard, I know there was a big stink over one of the developers or one of the, I don't know if it was Squeenix president or somebody who's like, nah, you don't have to play Remake in order to enjoy Rebirth. And there were so many articles that were like, don't listen to this man. No, you don't have to play the original Final Fantasy VII to enjoy any of this, but you definitely need to play Remake if you plan on playing Rebirth. Would that be correct, Chris?
Somewhat, as long as you know what the storyline is and the main events and some sub events that happen, you could just watch some gameplay video and watch, you know, and get a very good coverage or like the cliff notes of what happened.
Yeah.
Because the first part of the remake was just getting out of the main city. Like in the original game, you know, you want to get out of the big city, and then that's where everything opens up and where, you know, everything really takes off.
Yeah, I was about to say that you hit a YouTube video, you'll be caught up on it quick.
You will, yeah. That's a good way to utilize.
And I've done that. It before, and I did that again. This why it's been so long since I beat it, or I think I was close to beating the original remake, the first remake, and I'm like, well, I can't remember what was going on and stuff, so I just watched some YouTube video to catch up and see what the last boss fight was, you know, and just catch up and then get a reminder and then jump into this one.
Yeah.
So I need, that's the way to go with a lot of story based games, whether or not you're on the fence of picking it up, day one release, you know, there's going to be a playthrough of it.
I've done that myself on a lot of things where I'm just going to watch this to catch up before I play this. With a few things. Mm-hmm. I've done that with film, with movies.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of get a refresher before I go into watching whatever it is that I go into watch. But, yeah, I kind of do that too. And it's not a bad thing. Sometimes I regret it. Sometimes I feel like I want the experience, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I should play. Well, again, go back to what I've done with Wendy, which was... what was it? Last of Us 2 type of thing. Mm-hmm. Went back, watched Last of Us 1 playthrough, played Last of Us 2, though I did very bad with it. God of War. I went back and I played God of War 2019 to go into Ragnarok. That was worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Would I do a replay of Spider-Man to play Spider-Man 2? No. Mm-hmm. But God of War into God of War Ragnarok was absolutely worth it. Just because... everything was still so fresh in my head.
Hmm.
And I mean everything. Every little thing was so fresh in my head. Not to mention the mechanics of my gameplay. That to kind of get me there, my muscle. Why am I holding this thing? My muscle memory to get that back in and to go with it was a good thing. And I've done that with. I played Uncharted 1, 2, and 3, and then 4. Lost Legacy. I've done these sort of things to go back through and play these to lead up to new game releases type things. So sometimes it's good to do, and sometimes it's like, nah, it's not really worth your time to play it. You may want to get a refresher, but hit the high points and then move on. Final Fantasy might be something like that, because that is quite an effort, is from what I understand, Chris. A time sink, if you want to go through the first. Kingdom Hearts would be another one. Anything Square Enix is something you're going to want to maybe not play through again, but just get a brief refresher before you jump into something new.
And I did that same thing. I was playing the Pixel remasters of the first sets of the Final Fantasy games that been out on all the different consoles and systems. I was playing it on the Switch, but I had never played through the second one, and I went through it and finally beat it just before 7 Rebirth came out.
Yeah.
And I hadn't played 3, so I just watched a little gameplay, video that covered the whole storyline of what happened in 3, and I said, yep, that's good enough for me.
Yeah. Josh, have you ever done that? Have you ever gone back and replayed something in anticipation of a sequel, or have you stuck to videos to get the highlights, or what? He must be muted. Or not in the room. Okay, never mind. he's still in Discord, but he's not there.
There he is.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some others that I've done that on. And I can't remember what it was. But there have been a few. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, here's everything that's happened so far. I'd probably do that with Alan Wake. I do have the sequel. But I'd probably do that. There's not a lot that I could, not necessarily.
For Alan Wake, it's probably something built in. It was played like a TV episode, did it not?
It plays it like, yeah, exactly. So it's probably built in that. You know another sequel that came out recently that I'm interested in? It's the sequel to Valiant Hearts.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was an exclusive on Netflix Games that is now out of exclusivity. It's available on PC. And that, I really, really enjoyed Valiant Hearts. I haven't heard a lot about the sequel, though. I haven't heard hardly anything about the sequel.
Is that the one with the dog?
That was the one with the dog.
Okay. Yeah.
The one that took place during World War
I. Oh, yeah. Different stories with different aspects from different points of view during
right.
the war, yeah.
Yeah.
A soldier, the dog, a nurse, a nurse, and someone else. I forget.
It was a soldier. There was a soldier, the father of the nurse. Who met the soldier. The nurse met the soldier. So you play all these different characters, but they all connect.
Yeah.
There is the father, who has a daughter who is the nurse. You play as the father, then you play as the nurse. The nurse meets the soldier that you play as well. Then there is the bombardier, I guess, or whatever that guy was. He's an American over there. And you play as him and then the dog as well. And I think they all connected in some way or another. But I don't know. I'm curious on that sequel part. We got to take a break here. Chris, we got to run, but thank you so much for calling in, man.
Yeah, the only other thing I wanted to mention, I did find a supplier for the drive belt for that old VCR, so I was able to find all sets that the machine had in there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, they're like $5 a piece, but, it was worth it. But
is it working?
Not yet. I haven't decided to get the time to put down and put them in there, and they just arrived today. But so far, if it's only mechanical issues, then the belts should I'll probably only need to replace one belt and then clean up and free up some of the other moving parts that are gunked up from all these years that have been sitting. So if I can get it to working, I'll be glad and just work play with it every now and then, because it has probably close to 100 or more of those old electrolytic capacitors in there that are 40 years old, and that's going to be a nightmare if it has electrical issues.
I love looking at the pictures you posted in our Discord of the way. In fact, here, I'll put this So, well, RJ's got his computer up. So, anyway, I just love
to
pick
that repair video that I sent you a link to, or top. You know, look on YouTube about that model. There's a repair video. That'll be enough to drive you up the wall.
Man, it just fascinates me to see all of that stuff. That is that whole thing just taken apart like that. I love looking at stuff like that. I don't necessarily love the idea of now starting to tool around with all of that stuff. Seeing it broken apart like that, that's really cool to look at. Knowing that I have to go in there and fix all of it, I don't like that idea. So I'm glad that you do. And give us
and
an update on that next week.
I'm glad I found that repair video with the same model and same issues that mine has. So I'm crossing my fingers, and y'all have a good one then.
Take care, buddy.
All right, take care now.
All right, we'll be back with more of in-game chat music here from the remaster of Tomb Raider 1, 2, and 3. We're going to go for Tomb Raider 3 on this one and use the theme from that one to play here. We'll be back with more of in-game chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music from a game called A Little to the Left. Radial Dance Party is the name of this track, which is an interesting name to the track. Oh, Road 96 Mile Zero is $3.88 on Humble for Steam. But we hate Mile Zero, right?
Yeah, Road 96 is the good one. Mile Zero is the one that goes off script.
Say we hate it. We don't like it. Yeah, yeah.
Way off script.
Yeah, apparently. We don't like Mile Zero. Mile Zero, not good.
Oh, it's a puzzle game. A Little to the Left.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It is.
Cozy little puzzle game that has you sort, stack, and organize household items into pleasing arrangements while you keep an eye out for a mischievous cat with an inclination for chaos.
That's what cats do.
Yeah, they do. But what's the things cats are known for?
Knocking stuff off the shelf.
Put some fragile on top shelf. See what happens to it in about a week.
Bama Bryan just posted pictures in the chat. Apparently, we need a chat. Nabokov's not in there, but if he is, we need a chat channel that is crafts.
Arts and crafts.
This thing has picked up where Chris has been posting all of his videos, or not videos, but all of his pictures of, all the things that he's working on, and then the VCR. And then Bama Bryan posts a 3D, he's doing some 3D printing of the Orville model that he is working on. I'm not familiar with the ship there, Bama Bryan, but it looks fantastic. I am a fan of ships. Spaceships, pirate ships. I like ships. I also apparently like saying ships. But that's a cool looking ship. That's a really cool looking ship, actually. That's really neat.
You're looking very good there.
Yeah, right? I always wanted a model of the Normandy. I know they have some, but I always wanted... I wish Lego would do a... Of course, they're not, because Mass Effect is not in the minds of people at the moment, but I would love a Normandy ship. It's a couple other ships. I wish I could get some of my Destiny ships. Not now. I don't care anymore now. I look around the room, and I look at the in my room, and I see all the Destiny stuff I have, and I'm just like, what a waste. What else do we have? What is this? Drug Degenerates Now. Post something I worked on recently, a birthday gift. What is that? Oh, is that a miniature?
Yep.
In a glass case?
Yes. Very fancy.
Look at that. I'm sorry, I've got to zoom in. Because, again, if you heard the word I mentioned earlier, miniature.
It's an image gallery. Imgur gallery. There's a couple of pictures in there.
Look at that. That is nice. Oh, man. So this is one that you you painted?
Yeah, exactly. That was a birthday gift for a friend.
Jesus. My God, man.
I'm getting better at it.
You're getting better at it? I don't see flaws here, sir.
Oh, I'm far from exceptional. I've seen way better.
You have. I'm just talking about what I see here and the size of that and how you must have meticulously painted all those little details and things like that. It's really, really cool, man.
Well, it's the first time I've used an airbrush on minis as well. Whoa. I got one for my first day last year.
Yeah, now you're getting an airbrushing. That's great. Good job. Now, we're talking about this, and if you want to see those, you'd have to go to our Discord channel to look at those. And you can do that by going to our website, ingamechat.net, scrolling all the way to the bottom, and then clicking on our Discord link, and it'll get you in there. If you go into the on-air chat channel, you will see all this stuff that we've been talking about. And it is fantastic. So I appreciate that. Yeah, we just need to throw up a craft channel on the in the Discord so everybody can post their miniature stuff that they're working on or any of that stuff. Would be great. So what else do we have news-wise? We've only got about 15 more minutes here. We talked about it, but the layoffs were just massive. Supermassive Games laid off about 90 staff. Those are the folks that did Until Dawn, the Dark Pictures anthology.
Yep.
Then what else do we have? PlayStation closed London Studio and canceled a lot of games after laying off 900 people. Deck 9, which is the studio behind Life is Strange True Colors, they laid off 20% of their staff. EA laying off 670 workers, also sunsetting games and apparently moving away from future licensed IP. So, yeah, and there may be some more in here that I don't have because it's just kind of scattered around, but there was a lot. There was a lot of people who lost their jobs in from January 1 to now. A lot of people, video game-wise, who have lost their jobs. And the axes are going to continue to swing,
yeah, I was about to ask, you see any...
any signs of stopping? No, I don't.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, since we spoke of Warner Brothers earlier...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, they are taking down Adult Swim games from Steam. Bit by bit, so if you are interested in those, buy them before they're no longer available.
Yeah, they're taking those down. They closed down Rooster Teeth as well.
Yeah.
So they dropped those off. And, you know, on the other side of that, Activision or some workers at Activision, 800 Activision QA workers unionized yesterday, I think, or something like that. The union covers approximately 600 Activision Central QA workers across three locations, Austin, Minnesota, Eden Prairie, Minnesota, and El Segundo, California. This makes the union, called Activision Quality Assurance United, the largest group of unionized video game workers in the United States. So it's their QA workers, though. And I'm wondering, I have no idea about QA. I've never worked in QA. I've heard of people. Basically, they start in QA and they move up from there.
Testers, you know? Right?
Yeah.
Just testers.
Yeah, just testers. As far as I can say, I don't necessarily want to dilute it down to something like that if there's way more to it. I don't know.
Yeah, the last time I thought about QA and testers, it was it a paid? I don't know. Was it a paid or voluntary thing? Or just
it's paid.
It was paid.
It ain't much, but it's paid.
Because I was thinking, wasn't there a time when it was just a voluntary? Would you like, we'd like you to try this out?
I don't know. Possibly, maybe, but I know, you know, Daniel, who was on the show.
Yeah.
He went to Bungie, you know, once he went to Bungie and started working for them as a QA tester.
Yeah.
And then he moved up from there.
Okay, so yeah, I was thinking it was the official QA was like a casual job at first, then the official entry-level position.
Right.
Then you just went from there.
A lot of people who a lot of people who get into the game industry start as a QA, unless, of course, you've got the develop. I mean, there was one guy who made Balatro.
Yeah.
There was only one dude who made that, and because he had the ability. And Vampire Survivor is another one, where it's just like one guy knows how to code, did this, borrowed assets, did whatever, did his stuff, and then released the game, and
the rest is history.
Made something amazing. You know, so there. I mean, there's that as well. But usually, if you want to get into a studio, then you go work for them as a tester, and then you move up from there. You try to, anyway. But yeah, just a bunch of people losing their jobs, and like I said, very horrible. Speaking of Balatro, it sold 500,000 copies in its first 10 days. Mm-hmm. I thought I had another little tidbit.
Yeah, it got about 1 million in 8 hours.
1 million in 8 hours. It grossed $1 million in 8 hours. That is one dude who built that game.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like roguelike is where you really need to... That's where I wish the studios would put their monies into, not this free-to-play live service game stuff.
Yeah.
Go into taking the roguelike formula and putting that into other games.
Yeah.
Like the city builder that AC Wraith was talking about. Like poker, for whatever reason. There's that. So
yeah, I think we tried to analyze before the ingredients of a hit. Like, what is it that makes like little things like you don't think would be... would hit this hard, like Balatro.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I don't think that they know that either when they're doing it. I think they have an idea for a game and they enjoy it, but I don't think they realize that, oh, it's, you know, there are games, and I say games that are made by committee type of thing, but that's not really what I'm talking about. But there are games that are made in a specific mindset of how do we pull people in?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do we Skinner box this thing? You know, to let's look at how other games pull people in and keep people there, and let's try and take that formula and modify it and put it into what we're making.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a formula for it.
Yeah.
There is that, like, Call of Duty, when they added the multiplayer and the ranking system and stuff, that was it. It's like, let's drip feed them a little bit so that when they play a little bit, they unlock some stuff. And then let's keep that momentum going.
Mm-hmm.
But the further they get, the less they unlock, and they will keep chasing that. Because they're still chasing whatever that feeling was from earlier on, where it was like, oh, this is amazing. The only thing I'm chasing in Balatro is a win. I would like to pull that off, but it just says...
I would love to beat the endless mode.
I can't even play the endless mode. I can't play anything but the decks that I've unlocked so far because I can't beat them.
Can you speedrun that game?
Speedrun Balatro?
Yeah.
I'm sure. Quickest
to get the anti-8.
There is an achievement for getting the game done in 12 rounds.
Huh.
And usually you can play up to 3 per ante, so that's quite fast.
Well, isn't there a joker?
You can skip blinds, right? Yeah, because skipping.
Yeah, you can skip blinds.
Okay, yeah.
There is a joker that it's -1 ante, but it also is -1 hand played.
Hmm.
But that's an extra ante to beat the game.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'm not exactly sure how that works, but. But yeah, so.
That would be something to see, though.
I've come across lots of videos for this. In fact, what is his name? Northern Lion, I think. He's a streamer or whatever on YouTube. He's got videos of Balatro, a lot of videos. That's where I learned the money trick of let's get that money quick. Let's get rid of all the cards early on because it's your first blind. If you don't make it, you start over. No big deal.
Yeah.
But if you can get a four of a kind and get a first win out of the first hand you play, mm-hmm. that's an extra $6 that you get, at least with the red deck. Depending on the different decks you start with, that's going to be different as well. So,
because the highest price after the shop is like $10 at the beginning anyway.
The voucher is $10.
Yeah,
voucher's
$10. Yeah.
I don't necessarily buy all the vouchers. I do kind of let them. I used to be one where it's like I got to get every voucher, and I don't know why. Maybe probably because there was an achievement or something. I'm not sure.
Probably thought it would help. The more you spend, the better it helps you out.
Possibly
thought about, you know, not really.
Some do. Some are nice. Some are the ones where, you know, you can, you get plus one hand per round or plus one discard per round or something like that. There's some really good ones.
Yeah.
One that reduces cost of rerolls or reduces cost of everything in the store, adds a card slot into the store. That's a good one. So you have more options than just the two they give you.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten up to four. This morning I had four options in the store. Mm-hmm.
Those vouchers, at least, you can wait a little bit to buy them as well. You
absolutely.
Don't have to buy them right away.
You get one voucher per three rounds. You know, they change after you beat a boss blind.
Okay.
So that's how that works. Let's see. What else do we have in our news here? The BAFTA Game Awards announcements were thrown off there. There was an Xbox partner preview stream thing that took place. I watched it, and I skipped a lot of it because a lot of those games I realized were not... This is not a game that I'm going to play. Unknown 9 Awakening, I'm curious about. I got an email about that, and I need to go back and look at it to see what that is about. Sleight of Hand, which was another card-type thing, deck builder or whatever. That looked interesting. Altars looked very interesting, where you have altars of yourself, and you have to work with them to maintain your survival. Not exactly sure how it's going to unfold, but it was interesting. Creatures of Ava looked like a PAL world, but on a more professional level, maybe. Let's see. Roblox was there. What else do we have? The Sinking City 2. Didn't realize Sinking City did so well in order for it to get a sequel, but good job for them. Final Fantasy 14 Online they talked about. Stalker Trilogy. What else did they have? The First Berserker. First Berserker looked interesting. The environments looked amazing. Wonderfully detailed. The main characters who were on the screen, usually one to two, had a very 2D animated look to them. While everything else was like in this really detailed 3D space, you had this 2D animated character, very well drawn and looked very, very really good, mm-hmm. but it was interesting to see. It felt, I'm not sure exactly what I'm trying to say on it. It didn't look bad at all. It was just an interesting look to it.
Mm-hmm.
What else did they show off? Frostpunk 2. I need to go back and play Frostpunk 1. I have it, but I never did. Frostpunk 2 they showed off, and Kunitsugami.
Good job.
Thank you. I was looking for some affirmation there. Kunitsugami, Path of the Goddess. I don't know what the developer at Capcom is snorting, smoking, taking. That game is beautiful looking. Colorful with some wild ideas in it.
Mm.
And I loved everything I saw about the game, and I'm very, very interested in it. I would very much enjoy playing that, or I would like to play that.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. There was some gameplay in there, but there's still not any kind of like, I don't have any idea of how it plays, how it works, you know, that sort of thing.
Too early, so it's just not enough yet.
You know, is it just a 3D fighter type thing? Is it just a hack and slash kind of thing? Or I don't know yet what it is, but I really, really liked what I saw of it. So, I mean, that was, you know, like a 45-minute show, and I covered like three games out of it. Ghost of Tsushima is getting a PC release, which I'm kind of interested in now that my PC can do some amazing things. I'm really kind of, I have it on PS5 and I may just keep it there, but there's the option to play it on PC. What else do we have?
We could do like Bloodborne then.
Do what?
We're just still waiting on Bloodborne.
Well, yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Is it going to be that like that Splinter Cell thing count that you have? How many days has it been since?
Maybe. Yeah. If Splinter Cell gets released, I need to move on to something else. That might be it.
Yeah, Bloodborne PC. Yeah, it's worthwhile.
Bloodborne PC release.
Bloodborne on PC.
Although, given the way that they're going with these things, I feel like they'll get there. I mean, Platinum Games, that's Platinum Game, right?
From
Software. Hmm? Why did I think Platinum?
Bayonetta.
I know. But it's a From Software. Well, From Software's been doing good with that, too.
Yeah.
With their PC releases. Why not Bloodborne? I don't know. Did we get a hint about maybe a sequel to Bloodborne?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean,
I'm suspecting that Blue Point Studio will eventually work on that.
Probably that or a remake. Mm. I say a remake or a remaster. Mm. Something to kind of... Look, Sony doesn't have anything coming out recently with their first-party studios.
Yeah. Tackerby, I'm still looking at... I'm still looking forward to the DLC for Elden Ring. And I still need to pick up Lies of P.
That's another one. Yeah. That's another one. All right. Well, we are rapidly winding down. Hey, Josh, thank you so much for joining us on this one. You go back to playing your Balatro or painting your miniatures or playing some Helldivers. I don't know what you're going to do.
I appreciate the tips on that.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever it is you're going to do. I'm going to be playing Balatro tonight, of course.
Sitting
in bed with the Steam Deck, just sitting there playing, trying to get far into the game, or at least trying to see how far I can get into it.
I'm going to see if I can get to level 8 ante and see if I can unlock some more decks.
Yeah.
And see the benefits of each one.
So best of luck to the both of you then.
Yeah, thank you.
Much.
I will be on in the morning if you want to do some Baldur's Gate, because I'm a little reluctant because I don't want to get locked into only playing when you're around, but it was a lot of fun when we played together, so I kind of like to go back to that. But thanks so much, man.
I will try to be around.
All right, buddy.
Take care, everyone.
See ya.
All right, Al. Take care.
That is going to wrap it up for us. We are done. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us. Thanks for calling in, Chris. Thanks for hanging on the phone there with it, or on Discord there with us, Drunk Degenerates. And RJ, thank you for coming in today as well. If you guys want to, get the show, we put it up on iTunes and YouTube. And you can go to our website and find all those links there and Twitter. Thank you, everybody, for joining us this week. Have a great week. We will see you next Saturday. I leave you here with music from a game called Arzette. This is the world map theme. We'll see you next Saturday.